I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District of the LCMS, and this is the Thought Leaders Podcast. Today, we're joined by a pair of experts in Reverend John Rothschild and the Michigan District's mental health case manager, Christy Hansard. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're looking out for the mental health of our workers and members here in the Michigan District. Reverend Rothschild, let's begin with you. You're the Dean of Students at Concordia in Ann Arbor, but you also have some vast experience in this area, don't you?
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning. Good morning, Christy. It's good to be with you today. Yes, as a matter of fact, I've been in private practice as a licensed clinical mental health therapist for over 30 years, in addition to being an ordained pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I'm thrilled to be with you because I believe every day is Mental Health Day, and especially that we set aside the month of May to be able to focus on what's good mental health, I think is really, really powerful. So can we take a minute and just talk about what is mental health?
That'd be great. Go ahead.
Wonderful. You know, I really believe being mentally healthy has many components, and caring for ourselves is a crucial part of it. I'll come to that in a moment. But mental health is, if we think of it, more of it, a continuum from ill health to healthy. And maybe one example of that is like depression to flourishing on either end of that continuum. You know, depression, a despondent, drained, worthless, hopeless kind of experience. And on the other end, flourishing, a sense of meaning, of mastery, of mattering to others. We live in a world that tends to normalize, I believe, physical health challenges and too often still stigmatizes mental health challenges. We tend to divide the mind and body, but as one of my colleagues, a professor in one of our programs shared recently with me, it's more one thing. We're interconnected as God made us. We're mind-body. And if we think of ourselves interconnected, that can really help us thinking about and to normalize the fact that we all can have mental challenges as well as down days. And, you know, think of it like this. What fatigues our mind will impact and fatigue our body as well. I mean, depression can hurt all over as an example of that. I also want to say, Jeff and Christy, that for our listeners, this is not a sign of weakness or a sin to be depressed or to experience other forms of mental dis-ease. You know, think of it like this. If we're not depressed, it doesn't mean that we're not struggling. Or if we're not burned out, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're fired up. In fact, I would say this past year, as we think about the pandemic, we've kind of been pounded by so much coming at us, unlike ever before in history. And then combine that with our work pace, we've just never seen this before. I believe it affects all of us. And I would say the dominant emotion of 2021 and maybe 2020 as well is this idea of languishing. If we think about it in the middle of that continuum, not depressed, not flourishing, but we're kind of in the middle. I think that that has really come out in this pandemic as it drags on and on. And it affects everyone, no matter what your position, no matter what age. And it's a part of our mental health or mental ill health that we can experience any day.
I do think it's good that we're able to talk about this more and more, as opposed to maybe what happened in past years, in past decades, in past centuries, for that matter.
Absolutely. You know, our system gets overwhelmed for a long time and it starts to shut down a bit. And in the past, we haven't always acknowledged that as a normal experience. In fact, we might get a cold and have a slight fever and we stay home for the day. But if we're languishing for a day, or if we're even sliding into more depression, are we willing to care for ourselves, go talk to someone, or even take a day for mental health? I think we're growing in that, Jeff, but I just don't think we've acknowledged it in the past. And I'm thrilled that today we are. And we see that as a part of caring for ourselves, as I mentioned earlier, a vital part of mental health.
And Christy, what did you want to add about that?
Well, I just wanted to pick up on something that John said. And we do care for each other in mind, body, and spirit. And I think in the past, people used to think of mental health as being just a secular problem. And it's not. Mental health can be Christ-centered. And I think that that's where we're trying to change that narrative and try and present some resources that are Christ-centered.
I think of like in Deuteronomy 28, where Moses says that if we're involved in the world or as we're involved in the world, we can have a languishing soul. He acknowledges it. He names it. David in Psalm 6 prays for deliverance from languishing. See, I think one of the things we can do to help ourselves and help those loved ones around us, or even on fellow staff members or congregational members, is to name it, to acknowledge it, and to be willing to speak about it openly and honestly.
So right now we're in a time where it's really difficult to connect, whether it be with other people, family members, friends, fellow church members, whatever it may be. And obviously this is because of COVID and the pandemic and all that we have going on there. How do we overcome this and how do we get over that?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is be able to assess kind of the situation. We're interacting with people differently. We're doing it over Zoom calls. We're doing it over phone calls. We're not doing it face to face. And if we are, there's so much nonverbal communication that we're sometimes missing when we need to do that through a mask. So I think one of the things I hear is someone will have a conversation with somebody. They can identify that something's not right with the person, but they say things like, well, I just didn't know what to say. I didn't want to be intrusive. I didn't want to upset the person. So some key tips when you are talking with someone that you think might be struggling is to actively listen. And what that means is don't prepare your answer or your response to somebody. It's take a deep breath and focus on the other person, not what you may think you need to respond with. The other thing is ask open-ended questions. So you can ask not yes or no. Are you okay? Yes. Are you going to work today? Yes. Say, what does your day look like today? That might help. I think also what's really important is follow-up conversations. Hey, I just wanted to check back in with you. We talked yesterday. I wasn't sure if something was up with you. You seemed upset. You seemed like something was off. And I just wanted to check in on you because I care.
In asking some of those open-ended questions, we're so used to asking those, how you doing today? Okay. Some of those things like that, kind of different. You had some good examples there. Are some other things, whether John or Christy, that you guys look for too in that regard?
You know, one of the things that I would say is it's really important to remember that when we pause and look in somebody's eyes and set our other agendas aside, we are giving the gift of love because time is something we don't get back. When we give the gift of time by just listening, by being present with somebody, by taking a deep breath, and if you're like me, Christy and Jeff, I also have to remember that I really can trust that God's going to manage all my other details and my other concerns so that I can listen to my wife, my children, my coworkers, whoever it may be. I think that's really crucial.
How much more difficult is it now that we're seeing with COVID to get somebody to connect with, to build that relationship? Are you finding it different or more difficult right now?
I would say that I absolutely, and I hear that from everyone that I know, coworkers, family members, friends. And so acknowledging that though things might be a little bit different, it doesn't diminish the fact that even over Zoom, if we can spend a little time before or after a meeting connecting with somebody or setting up a date with somebody, even a friend conversation on Zoom, it may not be what we had fully hoped for, but it's a huge gift even in itself. I would also say this, though we may not be able to connect in the same way because of masks or distancing, still, to be outside 6 feet apart or more and to connect with another person or even be in a room 6 feet apart where we're private can still give a piece of that that the Lord can use to grow, shape, heal, do what we need to do so that we can stay mentally healthy.
And John, I know you touched on this before, that we spend so much time taking care of our bodies, a lot of us, you know, making sure we're eating right, we're working out and all those things, but maybe not as much time on our minds.
That's so true, Jeff. I would encourage anybody who's listening, if you can take that time early in the morning, late at night, but especially ask your coworkers or your loved ones, your spouse or others you may be living with, if they could support you to take a few minutes to read, especially to read scripture, to pray, to take some time to even go for a prayer walk, to maybe play with your young children where it's undivided. That does something not only for our minds to renew, for God to do his work in our soul, our very being, but also to replenish our body and our mind. To be focused on something that is beautiful and beyond us actually helps with that languishing I brought up earlier. And I want to give a shout out to one of our wonderful district staff members, our head of communications, Mrs. Deb Fall, because she is the one who tapped me into that concept of languishing. I just love it. I think it's so appropriate for these days. And see, those connections really, really matter as we read, as we study. It can make a big difference in this time.
So that kind of leads in, and you talked a lot about it already, but the church's response, what should the church's response be to mental illness?
Well, I'll let Christy chime in here as well. I just want to say that I think acknowledging it still makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. For pastors, for instance, to make comment of it in a sermon acknowledges that it's a real thing. And I think to provide local resources, and that's a huge piece of it, not only listening and taking time for each other, but also providing the resources that can really help. I know at a district level here, Christy's very position is about providing resources for church workers. I think this is a powerful moment in time for Christy's work. Christy?
Thanks, John. One of the things I want to talk about is what is a case manager? So I'm wondering if people are hesitant to use the phone number or email to reach out because they're not really sure what it's all about. So the main purpose for a case manager is to connect people with people and people with resources. And I think we've done a wonderful job in vetting some professional therapists. And John, why don't you talk about that for just a minute so people understand the process that a therapist goes through in order for them to end up on our list that we can refer someone to.
Oh, you bet, Christy. And I'd like everyone to know and share this information because I think this is really crucial in the church's response that you were asking about, Jeff. From pastors within the Michigan district, we have received names of trusted therapists that they've worked with in the past. I have a conversation with those therapists and find out what they believe about life and about the Lord, about his word, and about so many other pieces so that we can say confidently that they agree with our theological stance and they are people of compassion. And many of them conduct virtual therapy so they can meet with people from around the district. I think that's a vital resource in the church's response to care for people. And with that, we stay in constant contact so that they know they are needed and they can work with us. And we can also offer other supports for people when they're meeting with these approved therapists to help so that they can be healthy. I believe God makes it clear in Scripture, as the head goes, the body follows. Jesus rose, we can trust we're going to rise. In that same way, as church leaders, pastors, church staff, church workers of any kind in their families, the healthier they are, the healthier those congregations can be and their communities can be. It makes a real difference, Jeff. Christy, we really appreciate the work that you're doing to link up church workers with resources they need to stay mentally healthy.
Thanks, John. The other thing that I'm wondering too is sometimes people are afraid to reach out because of the confidentiality. We are talking about struggling and sometimes struggling with sin. And I think church workers sometimes have had bad experiences when they've had to reach out to other people because they need it to be confidential. So I just want to make sure that our listeners understand that if they call or email me, that is protected under HIPAA. I can't tell their spouse, I can't tell their pastor, I can't tell anybody at district. It's morally wrong, but it's also ethically wrong and legally, so that it is protected under HIPAA. Unless I have their permission to share it with someone else in the team that's trying to care for them.
And Christy, we talked about resources. How do people get a hold of those resources and how do they contact you?
Sure. There is a phone number. It is area code 734 845 2972, or if they feel more comfortable emailing, it is churchworkercare@michigandistrict.org. And there is also other resources on our website that if you want to go there, it's not just about mental health. There's, you know, like I said before, we're talking about mind, body, spirit. So we're talking about body. So there are some resources there, but also like for retirement or professionally, for coaching or for mentoring. So I strongly suggest that people check it out to see all the other benefits we have in our Michigan district for our church workers.
Christy, on the website, if somebody just searches church worker care, they can access some of that, can't they?
Absolutely. We've worked really hard to kind of restructure the website so that you can find the resources quickly and easily.
That's wonderful. Jeff, could I close maybe with just a thought about reaching out?
Absolutely.
Well, I just want to encourage any of our listeners, when you sense something is off, whether that's a quick response out of anger to somebody you love, whether it's just you just can't get out of bed, whether that's something that you recognize is not where you want it to be, I just want to encourage you, talk to someone. Tell somebody you love. Tell a coworker. Tell your pastor. Call a therapist. Check out the online resources that we just mentioned through the MichiganDistrict.org website, because you're worth it. You know, Jeremiah in chapter 31 announces that the Lord does love you with an everlasting love, and he is wanting to restore your life. In fact, he says it like this: to satisfy the weary soul and replenish the languishing soul, this is what God does. Reach out to him too. Talk to him. Pray to him. He is there. He is walking with you as his baptized child to care for you, and he will never give up on you. Though we need to do physical actions and care for ourselves physically as we started this time together, Jeff, we also need to care for ourselves mentally. And one key piece of that, I would argue at the core of that, is to trust that we're forgiven and loved by God, who is faithful to bring us to the other side of whatever we're experiencing. We are not alone as we languish or we experience any other mental illness. He longs to lead us moment by moment. He loves you. So spend time with him. Talk to him. Thank him for loving you, even when you may be experiencing some of these types of things. Thank you, Jeff, for having us on today. I pray that everyone can be mentally healthy as we move forward, healthier and healthier every day.
Thank you both for joining us. And we also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in to our Michigan District Thought Leader podcast. Make sure to join us again next time.